Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Special edition here of the podcast today. We're going to talk about the 2018-19 NBA season. I'm joined by Brent Bloom. What's up, brother?
Glad to have three of the 14.
Oh, here we go. Now you can say it again.
Glad to have three of the 14 NBA fans in Iowa in the same building.
Yeah, it's quite an honor to be amongst such great NBA minds. Also, Austin Hurst. What's up, brother?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. This podcast is presented by mybookie.ag. If you are looking to place some wagers, whether it be on the NBA or college football or professional football, baseball, doesn't matter, mybookie.ag. And you can use our promo code when you sign up, 2427, and they will match your deposit. Is there a maximum? Do you know?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Not 100% sure.
I want to say it's something like $500, but if you use that promo code 2427 when you sign up for mybookie.ag, they will match your deposit and you'll have twice as much money to use to win with the good bets that we're about to talk to you about right now. All right, where do we want to start? We want to do win totals or MVP? Let's do win totals first.
Probably should start with the Timberwolves because I think we're all in agreement here.
Yeah.
On the Timberwolves with the drama.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Mr. PR, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler had a meltdown today.
I think that's a fair assessment.
That is, yeah.
But it wasn't even a meltdown. It was a planned meltdown. So I don't even call it a meltdown.
I think that Jimmy Butler
an orchestrated
feels
meltdown.
Like he probably did something really good for his career today. And I don't know that I would be able to disagree or be able to agree with that idea. He showed up at Timberwolves practice for the first time in 3 weeks, went on a very colorful tirade while playing with the third string bench guys and apparently running the starters into the ground.
And then had an orchestrated interview with Rachel Nichols afterward, who just happened to be in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he basically said that it had been a long time since he'd played basketball, and that's the way that he plays the game.
This is like, you know, you burn your house and you're like, oh, I was just trying to do the dishes. I was like, well, Jimmy, the house is now burnt to the ground, so glad you played hard. No, so what are the air over-unders at 42?
I am now looking at, since I looked at this morning, since Jimmy Butler went on his tirade, it has been taken off the board.
Yes, it should be.
Oh, wait, no, never mind. It's still here. I still haven't seen it.
42.
Yeah, 42.
So we saw them in Ames as well, and yeah. I was extremely underwhelmed with their second five. I mean, even with Butler, I don't love that group. I mean, no. I like Towns a lot. Wiggins is just not getting any better than he was as a rookie. And, you know, Jeff Teague's Jeff Teague. So and they're in the West still. I'm keep waiting for the T-Wolves to really, you know, ascend. And even last year with Butler, who was pretty good last year, I mean, efficiency-wise, still in the top 10 in the league, they only won
47. I just looked at that.
So without him, unless they can net something significant in a trade, and right now it sounds like it'll be, you know, Winslow and maybe Richardson for Miami.
Right.
Even Miami's probably like, I don't know now.
Yeah.
If that's worth it. Right. Towns is great, but he can't go 500 on his own.
Here. Well, the problem for me is that just hearing more and more about how this went down and what he was saying to different guys, and then the fact that nobody on the team stepped up and said, dude, stop being a douche, you know?
I think Gibson would have said something. But.
Well, you would think so, or even, I mean, I feel like in that time, that is not Taj Gibson's time to step up.
No.
There's two people in that scenario that need to step up, you know? And if you want to, I mean, and Jimmy even said it in the interview. He's like, I'm not the best player on this team, you know? And he's like, I don't have the most God-given ability of anybody on this team. And that goes to Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. And that's who he was challenging. And if neither one of them wants to stand up and say something, that very clearly shows me that they are exactly what he's saying. They're soft. Like, they're betas.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it just shows right now that they've got a major, major power struggle going on within their organization. You know, going from the front office to even the player ownership level, there's just a lot of chaos and a lot of uncertainty and, you know, don't really know what's going on there.
I feel like this goes to show that trusting Tom Thibodeau not only as your coach, but as your president of basketball operations was not the best idea.
Well, and Towns is a top 10 guy in the league. I think we probably all agree.
Yeah.
So, and he's only 22, 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not all lost for them, but I mean, some of the moves that have been made have just seemed really one-sided. Even the Rose thing is Derrick Rose thing's like, I don't see him helping a whole lot.
No.
I don't see a lot of future with what they have unless Wiggins really becomes, you know, a knockdown shooter and actually gives a little effort defensively. He's a great athlete, clearly, but just hasn't come together. But long story short, I'm selling on the T-Wolves this year. I don't think they get anywhere near the 42 that they're listed at.
I was going to say, if you can get the Timberwolves right now at 42 wins, that is – we got it – or me and our friends got it at what? It was like 45 and a half.
Yeah.
We got it at 45 and a half. I'm not even going to try and play that game. We got it at 45 and a half. And at this point, that might be the easiest money that I'll ever make in my entire life.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. Just, you know, it really just kind of goes to show. I mean, just if you look around the league, coaches that are given general manager power just don't work out and end up most of the time getting fired or stripped of that ability just due to the fact that there's too much emotion involved when coaching. And, you know, Tom Thibodeau right now, for as great of a coach he is, he's just really struggling as a general manager and, you know, just kind of how to construct the team. I mean, you know, he just kind of went back to what worked for him in Chicago. Well, that was great, but that was, you know, late 2000, early 2010.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how much more we can even say about that just because like you said, Bloom, it just comes down to if you believed in what the Timberwolves could build off of last year, don't at this point.
How about we each pick one or two from each conference that we like the over on first?
Okay.
And kind of go from there.
I mean, I think that one's easy to start off. I think that the Lakers at over 49.5 is another just that's easy money right there.
See, I'd fight you a little bit on that.
You would?
I would. Now, we obviously know why you would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeBron maybe had his best year as a pro, which is hard to say at age 33 last year, age 32, 33. But if you look at when he started with new organizations, it's been a slow build. You know, the Miami team started 8-8, and now with a Bosch and a Wade, the Cavs team started slow at first, didn't figure it out. This is still a really young Lakers team that only won 29-30 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going to make the playoffs. To get there, I think you're going to need 46, 47. But I don't know if I would just guarantee they're getting to 50 wins, even with LeBron. I like some of the pieces they have. I think Ingram's going to be a really good player this year. I like, you know, Rondo for a role, maybe. But, man, that West is really good.
Yeah.
And LeBron can't do it all himself. And he's not one that's just going to play 42 minutes a game. He's going to need his rest. Can those Lakers help him out? I think they're closer. Honestly, if I had to throw a wager on, I'd probably take I wouldn't be confident taking the over. I think I'd probably lean under, truthfully.
Man, I just look at the way they've constructed that roster. This is going to be the first time in LeBron's career where he is truly surrounded by athletes, guys who are capable of getting up and down the court and playing at a fast pace and passing. I mean, have him and Lonzo and Rondo all next to each other. Brandon Ingram is a guy that I think could be poised to have a breakout type season. And Kyle Kuzma, we saw what he was able to do last year.
No, I know. I like Kuzma. I like Hart. But it's just like you're dealing with a loaded West, and I don't see a lot of shooters there, Austin. I don't know. I mean,
dude, somebody I think that could actually end up having a really good rookie year is V.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to need to play him. They need that guy to shoot threes.
Like, do you want, if you're relying on Svi Mykhailiuk to be your guy, is that a good sign to win 50 games?
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, it's a lot to ask of a second round pick to, you know, one of your primary 3-point shooters.
I'm not saying he's going to shoot, they're going to need him to shoot 10 threes a game.
Right.
And be Klay Thompson.
And I'm kind of leaning with Bloom here. I just think there's a lot of, you know, young, unproven pieces that just haven't won consistently. And as great as LeBron is, you know, he's coasted through the regular season the last couple of years just to stay durable and, you know, just kind of gets his team in the playoffs, especially in the East. Once he knew he got his team in, he had a chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of with that,
I'm just gonna say that you guys are doubting the king right now, and that more often than not, that is a bad idea.
That is true. That is true. It's like doubting the vampire, but look at the vampire this year in football. So throw that out there.
Hey, I'm not doubting him in the playoffs. I'm doubting him getting the 50 wins in the regular season.
50-32. Now that's not just a little bit over 500. That's 18 games over 500. You know, so 50 wins is in the West is hard to do. But I'm going to give you a team that's going to get there, and that is everybody's favorite Utah Jazz. I love this team. It's not just because of Niang and Mitri Long being on a two-way. I think these guys are deep. I think Donovan Mitchell's a soon-to-be superstar. He fits them really well, and they can guard with Gobert and all those guys they have on the back end. Mm-hmm. I just like the way that team is put together. They've got a nice system. Quinn Snyder is actually underrated as a coach, and that's a hungry group that, and I think Mitchell's only going to get better. I like Rubio as a fit there.
Their over-under is at 49.
I think they get 53 or 54. I really do. I think they battle for that, you know. I mean, they're right there. Golden State, clearly. Houston, clearly.
Yeah.
I think they're right there with that three seed.
Wow. I mean, I think that they won 48 games last year. So to win two more is definitely not far out of the question, especially when you consider the fact that George Niang is probably worth at least six or seven wins just by himself. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, even if just Donovan Mitchell just continues to get a little bit better, that's probably worth at least one more win. You know, yeah. And if they can stay healthy, I agree.
Not real deep. I mean, injuries clearly it would be an issue if it was either Gobert or Mitchell, either of those two guys, then they're significantly hit. But they've been pretty healthy so far. And Gobert, you know, a guy that your everyday Joe walking down the street's not really going to understand what this guy means, but he's probably the best defensive presence in the league right now, consistently. And he's developing an offensive game. I mean, this guy's an all-NBA player. He really is.
Yeah, just, you know, their scheme, they've got a lot of guys who just buy into what Quinn Snyder's preaching right now and really just, you know, the lack of ego on that team. Right. You know, just look at last year's first round against Oklahoma City. I mean, they just really outclassed them the whole series because they play together. You know, they play hard and they're tough at home. And I agree with Bloom there. I think I would probably take him to go over.
Do we think George has a role on that team?
Limited to start. I mean, again, you're dealing with a long season, so maybe at some point. He's played well in the preseason. I mean, he put up, I think, 15 points the other night. It's just, it's hard to break in to that top 10. Mm-hmm. And, you know, NBA teams play 9-10 guys. It's hard to get there. I mean, I think George could get some significant playing time with, like, if Joe Ingles gets hurt or somebody. But right now, I don't see him coming in opening night and playing 20 minutes
at all. For sure.
In fact, I would be surprised if he's even active for opening night. Yeah, you get a suit up 12, right? And there's 15 on the roster. I'd be surprised if George gets meaningful playing time early, but again, it's a long year.
Yeah, no. And you know, that's a great point too. Just, I mean, really the attrition on this team, they're not extremely deep. So,
they're not.
You know, you've got a guy like George who's really got a chance. I mean, just look at Royce O'Neal. We saw him play at Baylor. You know, he's a role player for them right now. So I think right now you're not going to see a very big role from George, but I really do think he's in a great situation. And kind of as the season wears on and he gets an opportunity, I think he might be able to, you know, squeak his way into maybe, you know, 9th, 10th guy on that team.
I forgot they drafted Isaac Haas.
Oh, did they? He's not going to make the team.
No. All right. Austin, do you got one?
Yeah, I'm going to switch conferences on you guys, but one that I've really liked right now, Indiana Pacers, 47.5 over-under. I think they're definitely getting over that, to be honest. You know, it's very, very similar team that won 48 games last year. You know, just kind of a gritty group, and that's kind of what you need during the regular season for a lot of these over-under bets is a team that, you know, can go out, consistently play hard. You know, that's going to win them a lot of games, like Bloom said off air earlier. Just a team that you know is going to come out and play hard in the meaningless games in February. And that's kind of what you look for in these over-under bets for an 82-game season is just kind of a young, hungry group that's looking to play hard. And I think it's, you know, I think Nate McMillan's got a really good ball club.
Yeah, my concern with them is Oladipo was so much better than he has been ever last year. And he's been in the league now for 5 years. Was that the outlier or was that the new normal for him? Is a big question because these guys are good, but but they don't really have a transcendent player on their team that can just carry them other than Oladipo. I mean, they made some nice moves in the offseason. They get McDermott. Doug's still kicking around. He's now in Indianapolis. They got Tyreek Evans, who has developed now a three-point shot.
Allegedly.
But if they can get Oladipo to play the same way, and Miles Turner kind of had a disappointing year last year. You thought after year two, okay, this guy's going to be one of the modern NBA big guys. Was okay, not great in his third year, but some growth for the old Texas Longhorn. And I agree. I think this team could go over. I think really in the East, the class is going to be Boston for sure, and then Toronto's going to be right there with them, Philly. But I think these guys can be there with Philly. I really do. In fact, I know I don't want to rip on your Sixers. I would be wary of the Sixers. I don't know exactly what their number is, but I'd be careful.
53.5
Yeah, see, I would lean under there. I think Indiana's right there with Philly at, right around that 50-win plateau.
I want to talk about Oladipo more later on, so we'll move on from the Pacers from now. I'm surprised to see their number that low, honestly. 47.5 seems like an easy one. Another over that I liked. I like the Blazers at over 42.
Okay.
I mean, last year, I don't know exactly what they won.
No, they were the 3 seed.
Yeah.
But they were also almost the 7 seed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was just so little separation between the top and from the 3rd seed to the 7th seed. But they won 49 games last year, bring back basically the entire team. Damian Lillard's on a contract year, isn't he?
Maybe.
I'll take a peek at that. Yeah. I
want to say that he is. So I feel like if there's ever going to be a year that this group of guys is going to really put a scare into anybody, it's probably going to have to be this year, or else they're approaching that point where it's like, all right, we need to start moving people around and kind of redo this here, reshuffle a little bit.
I think their guards are awesome. Their bigs are not at all. In fact, they lost who did they lose off last year's team? I mean, their best big guy right now is Nurkic.
Yeah.
And he's a nice piece, but then your backups are Miles Leonard and...
They've got Zach Collins.
Yep. Zach Collins. It's like those aren't.
Yeah, I think they like Zach Collins.
Biggie Swanigan from Purdue, but it's like in that West when you're dealing with some monsters.
Yeah.
And Lillard, they went on that tear. What was it in March, April, where they went like 15 games in a row at one point where they won? Super streaky. Can McCollum do it again? I would probably agree. I'd probably go over, but I don't think I'd. Get too close to that.
I mean, that's going 42 and 40.
But here's the thing. I mean, so I really like Utah, like I said.
Yeah.
And I really like the Nuggets to ascend. The Lakers are going to ascend. Somebody's going to have to lose games in the West. Mm-hmm. You're not playing in a vacuum. And Golden State and
Houston
are going to win games.
The Thunder are going to win
and
games.
The Thunder so it's like you can't play the East every time out. So somebody's going to have to lose. And I think... Out of that group of 8 last year, I think Portland's the odd man out. Now, they can still miss the playoffs and win more than 42, but you're dealing with some tough calls there.
So yeah.
I'd be wary.
I think, we're all pretty unanimously high on, obviously, the Lakers taking the step up with LeBron making the playoffs. I think all of us are unanimously high on Denver as well, leaping into the playoffs. So, us being low on the Timberwolves, somebody else has got to drop out. And I think that Portland is a candidate to... drop out. Like you said, they can still win 42 games and not make the playoffs, but that East is just, or the West, excuse me, is just such a grind this year.
Here's what I'll remind people, the draft, this is going to impact over-unders. The draft lottery has changed for next season. Therefore, the tankathons won't be as extreme.
Yeah.
You still get some value from losing, but not to the extreme that, at the end of the year, Memphis, Chicago, Orlando, Atlanta, we're trying to lose every game. They're not going to be this year because 1 through 4, it's even odds. And then, they've got a new system where you're not rewarded for losing everything. So from that perspective, teams aren't just going to be able to show up against some of those randos and just win automatically. So I think the win totals will be more towards the median for everybody this year. So just looking at last year and saying, oh, they're better than they were last year is not necessarily an indicator for wins, losses.
Are the Nuggets your second one then?
Yeah, I was going to go to them. I just think they've got some nice pieces. I love Jamal Murray. I think that guy is a big time player. Him and Gary Harris are a nice little backcourt. And then, you know, the player that everybody that is follows the NBA knows, but nobody else does, is
Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic, and big time guy who's going to get better. Doesn't guard anybody. But Millsap missed a lot of the year last year, and they still almost made the playoffs. If he's back and healthy with the other pieces they have, you know, Monte will play a little bit for them. That's not why I'm picking them to win more than, I think that we have it at, what, 46.5? I think this team is right there, you know, 48, 49, 50 wins.
Man, I mean, I'm not going to call you a homer, Bloom, but you are rocking with the Cyclones.
No, and it's not just them. It's just that I've paid attention to those guys, yeah, and I've watched them because of Monte. And
yeah.
I was really impressed by them in the preseason.
And I think another thing to look out for, too, is just, you know, I think it was a great move for them bringing in Isaiah Thomas on the minimum deal. I mean, if you can get anywhere near the value he had in Boston offensively off the bench, I mean, that's just another weapon for a team that's already pretty well established. If you can get him buying into a bench role and just coming off the bench and being focused on scoring, I mean, that just makes them even deeper than they were last year. And they were a really talented team last year as well.
All right, who's your next one?
So the one that I want to look out for right now, the Miami Heat, 42.5 over under, kind of like we touched on earlier, the whole Jimmy Butler debacle.
If he ends up on the Heat, if this was to happen before the season started, what do you think that number would go to with the Heat?
45, 46.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I was thinking he's worth probably at least 4 wins in that.
But if you do it in the middle of the season, it's not an instantaneous bump.
No.
And I think you got to worry about then integrating somebody in the system.
Yeah.
So if they get him, I almost don't know if that number changes. I mean, it'll change, but I would be careful of just thinking, 5 wins, Jimmy Butler.
No.
Because, you know, he's good in the playoffs. And he plays hard every day, which is good. But I don't know if you can just move him right in there and say, okay, the Heat are going to be upper tier of the East now.
Yeah. I was thinking just more like if you were
from
to bet that.
From an odd standpoint, for sure.
If you were to bet that today, just like thinking, all right, they're probably going to get Jimmy Butler, then it's like that.
You can hit it both sides then.
Yeah, that's just good value at that point.
Yeah, but, and you know, you also got to look at, too, with the addition of Butler, what would be going out in that trade. So obviously they're going to have to trade some important pieces away to get him.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Jimmy Butler is traded, I think it's going to happen before the season. The longer he goes, the more value he loses, especially being in a contract year. So I would be willing to bet that he is traded before the season. So wherever he goes is something to keep an eye on. And reportedly this past weekend, the Heat and Timberwolves pretty much had a deal in place until the Timberwolves backed out last second. So, you know, if those talks can progress, then, you know, that's something to definitely look out for, or that could have just ruined it completely and Miami might not be interested.
I was just saying, if you're the Heat right now and you would have so much leverage on the Timberwolves after this happening. You know, if the Timberwolves came to you and they're like, we don't want that other stuff that we were at, tried to amend the deal. It's like, well, now we're not even going to give you the offer that we had before.
And if I'm the Heat, I don't know if I go near him.
No. I mean, the situation.
But the Timberwolves can't bring him back now.
So I don't know.
No, he's kind of stuck in limbo. And I think, you know, someone's obviously going to take a chance on the talent. But the situation, I mean, this literally is the world's greatest soap opera, the NBA. Yeah. I mean, the situation got so ridiculous that when the Timberwolves were in talks with the 76ers, Jimmy Butler's own group was calling out Timberwolves ownership, saying their asking price was too ridiculously high. So that's kind of what the situation is we're at right now, is literally his people were saying that the Timberwolves' asking price on him was way too ridiculously high.
I think he just wants out of there so bad. He's like, I don't care what you get, just get me out of here.
Yeah.
All right, my third one, and this is one that I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs or anything like that. I just think that they could potentially win some more games and win more than this number, is the Mavericks at 35.
Yeah, I saw that one too. I mean, Doncic is the...
With Doncic...
He's the real deal.
And Dennis Smith in year two. And then
Barnes,
I think they're
always solid.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a factor too where this might be Dirk's last ride. And it's like, all right, let's play hard for Dirk. I'm not saying he's going to play that. No, it's not going to be because of him. But it's just like, all right, let's make sure that he goes out on a team that doesn't go 10-70.
Yeah, Dirk is calcified.
Yeah.
Do they have a big guy though? I mean,
Nerlens didn't.
Yeah.
Well, they got DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre, forgot about that. Yeah, he helps. that team still doesn't shoot the ball.
No.
So I worry about them against some of those, you know, up-tempo.
I think Doncic is going to be good right away, though.
He will be, but he's not known as just a knockdown shooter.
No, well, no, I'm not saying as a shooter. I'm just saying in general.
They'd have to play a little differently, but I agree. I think them at 35 is decent value.
Yeah, Doncic, I think, I mean, he's going to come in, and we'll touch on him later with a different topic, but he's going to come in, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to make wow people right away. Yeah. You know, he's just, he's one of the most talented kids coming into this league in quite a while, I think, and it's just going to be really interesting how they use them. You know, like we've said, he's not a real great shooter, but, you know, he's a terrific ball handler, terrific playmaker, 6'7". You know, you've got Dennis Smith Jr. in the backcourt. I just think they've got a really interesting situation. Like Bloom said, little question marks on how they're going to be able to shoot the ball. But I personally probably wouldn't touch this one just because I think the West is so tough. It's going to be tough for them to scratch out 36 wins even just with how competitive that league is. But, no, Harrison Barnes, you know, he's a solid player. He's going to come out and play hard every single night. And, I mean, if anything, they're going to be a fun league pass team to watch just how they play.
I'm going
to
make a pick eventually that you guys like. Just one. I'll make one. I'm confident in myself.
Yeah, but you're kind of been the odd man out here.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough break. What about Nunder?
What do you got anymore? Or are you good?
I don't have any more overs.
Okay, that's just what I meant. Yeah. Do you have any more overs? All right, and under. Well, obviously we talked about Timberwolves. I think the Rockets at 55.
Yep.
That's the other one to me that I look at and I'm like, I don't see that. I mean, they were so good last year. I don't know how many they won last year. Probably like 60.
Almost.
I mean, more than 60.
64 or 5.
Yeah. I just don't. I mean, they lost some key pieces. You lose Trevor Ariza, who was really important to what they were able to do. And I just don't see them being able to duplicate that again. James Harden was on a mission last year. I don't see him coming out with that same level of intensity. Chris Paul is entering year 14. You know, and then they add Carmelo, but at this point, what do we know that Carmelo is going to add to that team?
Yeah, can it be Trevor Ariza? I guess maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, just
maybe
spot-up shooter, but Carmelo's in guard, and Ariza did.
Yeah.
I like Clint Capella as a big guy. Does he deserve that contract? I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
But they just don't. Eric Gordon's a nice piece. I agree with you. Paul's, when he got hurt, I mean, They had the Warriors on the ropes. I mean, that's awful. Forgot.
Jimmy Butler was awful in those last two games that they played.
Yeah. Well, I just think if Paul or Harden at all are dinged up and they're getting older and, you know, they sit a couple games, they just don't have the pieces to really, you know, go out and just dominate people like they did last year. 55 is a lot of wins. I agree with you. I think, I mean, they're comfortably the second or third best team in the West, but for them to get to 60 again, I think is a far fetch. They'll be right around it, but I'd probably go under with you there.
Yeah, and I think just even too, just kind of from a betting perspective, just looking at it here, under 55 is plus 125. So that's good value, taking the under there. No, I agree. I mean, even if you look at just the 72-win Warriors, I mean, obviously that team was going to take a step back. But the next year, their over-under was, I think, 67.5.
Yeah, not even close.
And, you know, they did not win that many games. And it's just hard to replicate that much success. And, you know, during the regular season, the Rockets last year stayed pretty healthy. So that's another thing to look at. And just the motivation to play hard every single night. Like you said, Harden was on a mission last year. I'm not convinced he's going to be as bought in the regular season. So I would lean under there as well.
I don't know if there's a team that is really good in this league that's harder to watch than they are. Like, I can't. That's one league pass team that I just can't watch. Their offense is so hard to enjoy.
Well, that's the way the modern system is going. It's just kind of gross.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the three are getting fouled, and the games take forever. And it's just, not aesthetically pleasing. I love the Fred Hoiberg system, is a little bit different, but, you know, they're just constant. Harden, he's of transcendent talent, but he's just not easy to watch, which is weird to say, but he's at the free throw line all the dang time. It's just like,
it's just boring. Like, you're like, I'm ready to go to sleep now.
It's just not real aesthetically pleasing.
All right. What's an under you like?
You know, I'm going to go back to my roots here. I think the Magic at 31.5, I don't like this team at all. I mean, they've got Isaac, Bamba and Gordon in the front court. And it's like, all right, let's throw a bunch of 6'9", 6'10", guys that really can't do anything at all except just be long.
Yeah.
And your point guard is DJ Augustine, an aging DJ Augustine. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And Evan Fournier is a good fourth wheel, fifth wheel, maybe on a good team. Maybe not even that. Maybe he's a bench guy on a good team.
Yeah.
I know there's some talk. I like Steve Clifford as the head coach there. He was there when I was down there as an assistant, but they're a long ways away. And
it just seems like every time when the draft comes up, they add another player that was just like what they already had.
Yeah, and Isaac's not. He's just not ready yet. Bamba's been okay, but again, he's 19 years old. He'll get owned by some of those big guys, and even in the East, I don't think they're anywhere close to 31.5.
Yeah,
I just think too this team lacks a major identity. I mean, I really don't know. Like, it almost just kind of when you look at it, it almost kind of looks at the 76ers. You know, all right, who do we think is literally the best player available on the board, regardless of position?
Yeah.
Draft him.
And it may work in 3 years, but it's not going to work this year. And your best player is Gordon and Vucevic, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Not great.
No, great. I definitely can't disagree with anything that you've said about that.
Can I go one more?
Yeah, for
kind
sure.
Kind of controversial under. I like the Celtics under.
I was actually looking at that one too.
I think this team's a little overexposed right now. They've got a couple things going for them. Everyone saw what Tatum did, and I love Tatum. Everyone saw that Jalen Brown got a lot better in the playoffs. You think, oh man, there you go. But to try and get Gordon Hayward back and Kyrie Irving back into that system, these guys played as good a defense as anybody did in the NBA last season. And that was a lot of part because Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving were not on the floor. You throw those guys are negative defenders. Well, Hayward's average, I guess. I don't see that uptick defensively, the same uptick, where they could roll 11, 12 guys at you that were all pretty equal. They lost quite a bit. You know, I know Marcus Smart's a nice player.
Terry Rozier's
a nice player, but again, to get to 60 wins is asking a lot. I really like the value here at plus 155 on the under. So, I mean, I still think they're... I'll actually a little hot take here on whatever it is, October
10th.
I think the Raptors win the East again.
Win the East or finish first in the East?
Finish first in the East. Yes. Thank you for the correction.
No, yet. I mean, I can't argue with that. I don't know how to feel about the Raptors right now. I don't know how I feel about Kawhi Leonard. I'm not sure what his motivation level is to play there, but at the same time, you know he's going to want to come out and play well because it is time for him to get his money.
And I just love their second unit. That's why I like them in the regular season is their second five are the best in the league. And so they can, you know, like when you're looking at over-unders, what's a meaningless game in February? Who's going to play hard?
Yeah.
And the Raptors always do, or at least did last year.
Yeah, and you know, teams with the deepest benches are normally the successful regular season teams. I mean, Steven, look at last year, Cleveland, they finished fourth in the East. Well, I mean, their bench was just pure garbage. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter once you get in the playoffs, but if we're just speaking to regular season over-unders, I think that's what you got to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right, there's really one more here that like jumps off the page to me. And I don't know if this has gone down or if it has changed at all. That's the Spurs at 45.5.
Yeah.
Especially
that's just
with
all pop right there.
Especially being or knowing the fact that DeJounte Murray is out for the season after getting injured earlier this week. I mean that was probably their best guard. I mean, who else do they even have at the guard position?
Now your starting guard is Derek White.
Yeah. I think they're gonna be in for a very long year.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think I like the DeMar DeRozan pickup for them. I think he's gonna be a solid player in the regular season. Just a team that kind of they're always going to play hard, and especially I think obviously nearing the end of Pop, they're going to be playing hard for him, and they've got a good system. But you know, Lonnie Walker, think a guy that was really going to be expected to do a lot for them. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, just had knee surgery. Just kind of now looking at, you kind of had the next spur, which was DeJounte Murray, that was kind of the guy that was taking the next step, and you lose him. That's a pretty big void to fill on a team that already lacked a little bit of depth.
Yeah.
Bigs are still okay. Mm-hmm. Aldridge had
probably one of his best seasons last year.
And you pair him and DeRozan and Hickey, maybe you can, run into some wins and some, but they're going to have to slow it down a little bit.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if that's really going to work. I agree. I think they're, if there's a team to drop again in our earlier conversation, who falls off? They're an obvious candidate to fall off.
Yep. You got one more?
I got one. It might be a little bit controversial. And,
we're all about controversial around
but,
here.
So. But that's okay. It might not be well received on here. I'm going with the Chicago Bulls.
What's the number?
Over under of 30. And
I'll
the way,
fight you on this.
The way first. That I'm the way that I'm looking at this is you got Lauri Markkanen is out for about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably putting you in the 15-20 game range that he's going to miss. And really, you know, I still think the Bulls are a season away with what they're trying to do. I mean, you bring in Jabari. Man,
if you only win 20-something games, you're more than probably one season away. I'd have to say.
I mean, I just think one of the biggest things, which is really going to hurt the Bulls at the beginning of the year is, you know, you bring in Jabari Parker for, you know, the one plus the team option for $20 million. Well, the Bulls were really looking at Jabari. Can he play the three next to Lauri Markkanen at the four? And now you lose 15 to 20 games of that,
yeah.
And I think that really hurts them. I think this team is extremely below average defensively, and that's, I think, something that's going to hurt them. You know, they're a young team, so it could help them in those, you know, somewhat meaningless games in February, but I just think it's going to be hard for them if, you know, they start losing early and kind of are out of contention early. Mm-hmm. It could be easy for them to somewhat pack it in, which that's going to be up to Fred to keep them playing hard. But for the value at plus with 115 under 30 wins, I like that.
I see it. See, I think they're better than the Magic. LaVine's a nice player. I mean, they didn't have him for two-thirds of the year last year. When he was back, he wasn't healthy. Looks healthy now. I thought Chris Dunn took a big step. Bobby Portis got better and has had a great preseason, had a great offseason. They love Wendell Carter. He's a young center. Robin Lopez is solid. They lose Markkanen a lot, though. And so I think those first 10, 15 games, however long he's out, that could really set them back.
Yeah.
And if they go like a 2-for-13 those first 15, it's hard to recover from that. But I think this roster's okay, though. It's not great. It's okay. You're in the East. I mean, there's teams going to have to take a step back in the East, Cavs included. I don't think their division's very good. You know, Milwaukee, I think, is the real deal. Well, I guess it's okay because the Pacers are good, too. I wouldn't touch it.
I probably wouldn't touch it either.
I could see them going like 30... Yeah. 32 and 50 or something.
I mean, if you go 32 and 50, you're still pretty...
You're still not very good.
Yeah, you're pretty close to the top of the lottery.
But I see your logic. The marketing thing really hurts them in the first 2 months of the year.
Yeah. No, I just... The biggest thing I worry about with this team is just the lack of defense. I mean, you know, Zach LaVine is... This is a big season for him in terms of showing that he's a competent defender. And, you know, Jabari Parker's always been a minus defender. And, you know, obviously... Robin Lopez is, you know, one of the more solid bigs in the league, but he's also probably a big trade deadline candidate
true,
for that team.
True.
So
good point.
I think that's really interesting to look at. I probably wouldn't touch it, but if I did, I would definitely go under on that.
What did they win last 26?
I think they won 27 last year.
Okay.
So
yeah, and that team went on a run, and what was that?
Yeah, 27.
After Nikola Mirotic came back,
yeah,
they started
like
3-20, and I believe they won 10 out of 11 or something, which ended up in the long run hurting them in the lottery. But
I like Wendell Carter.
Yeah, no, I think Wendell Carter is a really, really solid piece.
For Fred's sake, I mean, he has to win more than 30 games,
mm-hmm.
clearly,
yeah.
or else.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really important season for Fred going forward. Yeah. And, I mean, he's obviously going to be coaching them hard. I just think, you know, when you've got a really young team that's already somewhat out of the playoff picture in, you know, January, might be a little hard to motivate them to play hard every night.
Hard to believe it's year four for Fred already.
I know.
It seems like just yesterday.
Yeah, it seems like just yesterday Chris was fighting with Jeff Hornacek's agent on the Cyclone Fanatic forums.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage, and Ankeny is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatics sent you.
All right, let's move to the MVP. Again, all of these odds and everything, the over-under totals that we're talking about, coming from mybookie.ag. If you sign up for mybookie.ag, use promo code 2427 at sign up, they will match your first deposit. So have twice as much money to make wagers with. All right, so the favorite right now is Anthony Davis at plus 400.
That's LeBron, actually.
It is? Oh, okay, my bad. So LeBron is what? Okay, he's at plus 300, and then it's Davis, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And then the Greek Freak at plus 450, and I think Harden is next, yep. I want to say.
Six.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I find it hard to believe that LeBron is going to win the MVP. It would take, one, it would take the Lakers being considerably better than what I think a lot of people see them being. Mm-hmm. And it would also take him having like one of the best statistical seasons of his career. There's only been two times ever where a player changed teams and then won the MVP next year, the following season. It was Charles Barkley and Moses Malone. And that's like, so twice in the whatever 50-year history of the NBA has that happened. It would take a pretty crazy thing from LeBron to do that.
But he also has the built-in PR machine.
Yeah.
If he has a year like he did last year, and somebody like a Harden doesn't, you know, have a year like that, I could see him pulling it off. I see why he's the favorite, but I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah.
I guess let me put it that way.
I mean, you have to remember, too, like the MVP voting, the MVP entire award is weird because the way that voters go about things is odd.
Yep. And it's not the best player in the world because he would win it every year.
Yeah. Well, and it's like the best story as much as it is anything else. You know, when Westbrook won, it was because of the fact that he got the triple-double, basically, and that was really the only reason. Harden won, I think, last year because of the fact that he had a great year the year before, had another good year, and it's like, all right, we got to give it to him.
And Houston won 67
and was the number one seed in the West. Yeah.
So as much as anything, when I look at this, it's like who can be some of the best stories when you are trying to figure this stuff out? And that's the thing, too, for me with Anthony Davis that I think kind of hurts him is the fact that the Pelicans are going to be at best, at the best, maybe the 5 seed in the West. I mean, that's the best I could possibly see them being. He's not going to win the MVP.
He could have the best numbers, but it probably won't matter. And he's not even a really well-known product, although he should be.
Yeah.
He's probably the second or the third most talented guy in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, whenever he gets onto a new team, if he goes to the Lakers next year, he will be. There will be a lot of people that I think are surprised by how good he is.
So this is, I've got two picks. Okay, I'm going to take Giannis.
Yeah.
I mean, he's similar to Davis. He's in a small market.
I wouldn't be surprised to see if the Bucks are in top four, though.
He's got a little more cachet around him, I think.
Yeah.
You know, some of the, you know, legend stuff. And he, with Budenholzer now as the head coach, nothing against Jason Kidd, but they mismanaged some of what Giannis
could do.
He
was a bad coach.
I just think this guy, I see the Bucks exceeding their win total as well. Forgot to mention that. I think they can win 53, 54 games, be a top four team in the East, and now Giannis is a household name.
Yeah.
He's hitting now age 23, so this is where he should take the next step. I don't love the odds, though, at 450. Those are
pretty
high.
That's not a great value.
That's not a great value, but I think he would be my favorite to win it right now. And I think great value, honestly, is Westbrook at 12.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy plays his ass off all the time. They should be better this year. And even though he won it 2 years ago, he's crazy enough to just have a silly great season again. And at 12-1, those are pretty good odds for a guy with that type of talent.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing that makes me feel good about Giannis is that, and you think back to when Kevin Durant won the award, I'm not sure Kevin Durant will ever win the MVP again. I think he burned enough bridges in just the fact that he went to the Warriors that there's people that they're like, I'm not voting for that guy ever again, just because of the fact that he did that. you don't ever hear anybody say anything bad about Giannis. He's got a lot of positive cachet with media members and with people that are in this power structure that votes on this stuff.
And now as the metrics become more and more part of the voting, his defensive metrics are really good.
Yeah.
The one thing that will hurt him is he's going to have to shoot the ball a little better, because mm-hmm. when you start factoring in true shooting percentage and offensive efficiency, he gets penalized for his lack of ability to shoot the three. But he's going to make enough wow plays this year. When we saw him try and dunk on Anthony Towns in a meaningless preseason game in Ames, like, yeah. what is he going to do to some of these people? Because he knows this is his time. I think he has some of those, you know, Heisman moments, so to speak, where it's like, whoa, this guy. And makes a huge, huge name for himself.
Yeah. Is there anybody that sticks out to you, Austin?
I had Giannis at the top of my list in terms of who I think is most likely to win the award in terms of comparison to their odds. But I'm riding with Bloom. I had Russell Westbrook as my best...
smart minds.
As my best value on this. I'm not saying that Russell Westbrook's going to win the award, but I mean, the dude comes out, plays hard every single night in a guard-driven league. He's going to put up the statistics. I just think that for his value compared to everybody else on this list, I really think he's your best bet. But I think that Giannis has a better chance of winning it.
Yeah.
But just the value in terms of betting, I think that Russell Westbrook's a better bet just in terms of the possible return on investment. I mean, going back to what you were saying, Jared, I think this could, you know, I definitely completely agree with LeBron being the favorite to win the MVP just due to the fact that he's going in LA. So he's in a much bigger market now. It's going to be a big story. I mean, he's going to be covered more than he already has been, which is pretty much impossible to think. But, you know, if he goes out and, you know, he plays really hard and, you know, somehow brings this team to top four, top five finish in the West, I mean, he's going to be right there in the voters' minds. But, no, just in terms of sheer return on investment, possible value, I really like Russell Westbrook at 12-1 odds.
I just don't know how many people will vote for him again.
No, that's fair. But if he puts up like a 30, 12, and 11.
Yeah.
He's going to definitely be in the conversation.
He'll be in the numbers there.
What kind of, just humor me, what kind of path does it take for Joel Embiid to be in this conversation?
Well, they're going to have to probably win.
He's got to be healthy, but
he's got to play pretty much every game. And he's got to do like 28 and 13 and something. The problem is all these guards can put up insane numbers, and it's really hard for big guys because they don't have the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a modern big guy will just have a rough go trying to win the MVP. It's just the way it is.
And I mean, I just absolutely hate to say it, but the biggest path for him is just to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah.
He's just obviously, I mean, and that's obvious, but he's a guy that's always struggled with his health. And I mean, when he's on the floor, he's great, but he's also a big man. And, you know, the cards are kind of stacked against the big man to win the award.
But if they win 65 games and win the East, it's like, and everyone else is, you know, what, mid-tier, then he's going to get some votes because he's the best player on that team. I think he's a top 10 player in the league. It's just tough for a big guy anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one more name out there, and this is completely if I was just like, all right, I'm just going to throw a dart at a board. Victor Oladipo at 80-1. If the Pacers take a step forward and are considerably better, and then they're in that conversation and he puts up big numbers again, he's going to be in that conversation, I think.
So what were his numbers last year?
I don't know.
Because I'm going to throw another name in that same category that could do this. That is kind of a super long shot, but Damian Lillard right now is 45-1.
Yeah.
And as streaky as that guy is, I mean, at times he was the best player for like a two-week stretch. He had to do it for a longer stretch than that. But 45-1 is, again, pretty good odds.
Oladipo averaged 23.1 points, 5.2 rebounds, 4.3 assists, and 2.4 steals.
See, those are nice. They're really good numbers. But when you're in Indiana, I mean, he's got to be where Westbrook was.
Very clearly, that's a long shot. Yeah. That's a very clear long shot. But I looked at that, and I was like, I was like, man, at 80-1, like that's $5. It was 100-1 earlier today.
You know what I think? What would be his odds to make an All NBA first team if they have that on my bookie?
I would say they're not too bad.
No, so that's another one to look at.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, what I look for in guys that are long shots, you know, I'm thinking, okay, obviously not likely that they win, you know, the MVP, but who am I looking at to look for value? I look at who's the alpha on the team, and Victor Oladipo is definitely the alpha on the team. You know, he's going to get the shots, and, you know, he's going to get the publicity, and that's you know, that's kind of what I look for there. So I definitely, I mean, obviously, mybookie.ag doesn't think he's going to win it. We don't think he's going to win it. But if you're looking for value and, you know, just
take
a shot in the dark.
If you have money to just throw around and you're like, I'm just going to throw it on one guy, that would be a long shot to where I would make a boatload of money on this pick. That would be a good one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lillard.
I think, as well as Lillard. And then I think that Kawhi Leonard is also a sneaky option too.
Coming back. I don't know what to expect from that guy.
I don't know what to expect from him, but if he came out and had an FU season in Toronto,
odds are honestly better than what I expected, 7-1.
Yeah. All right, so who'd you pick for your top, Giannis?
So Westbrook for value, and I think Giannis will win it.
Okay, and you had Westbrook for value?
Yeah. Same boat.
Okay, I think Giannis will win. And I'd probably say Westbrook, or I do think that the Kawhi one isn't bad. No, the Victor Oladipo one is more of like a
flyer.
Yeah, that's
five
just
$5 in Vegas.
Yeah, if you're just
mybookie.ag.
If you're on mybookie.ag and you're just like, I just want one bet where if it's like, if this hit,
I got you.
Then all of a sudden I have enough money to be like, hey guys, we're going to the bar tonight and we are going to have a lot of fun.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seeing or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache, and I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day, and man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com. or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
All right, let's move to Rookie of the Year. We'll finish up with this. The favorite is
Luka Doncic.
Is Doncic at 250. DeAndre Ayton is at plus 300.
I've already told you, Jared. I already told you who
you told me who your value guy is.
Who my value guy is. And my value guy would be Marvin.
His odds
Bagley.
Have gone down, actually.
Yes, his odds. I noticed that they've gone down. I actually saw 12-1 earlier today when I was looking. They're down to 11. Marvin Bagley with the Sacramento Kings. Another team lacks a roster structure. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that's going to go out. I mean, if you look at what he did at Duke, kind of a positionless player. Kings, another positionless team, you know, just a guy that's going to go out, play hard. I mean, realistically, he could, you know, if he stays healthy, he could put up close to double-double stats on a really bad team.
Yeah.
And just something looking at today, since the 1988-89 season, every single rookie of the year has been drafted in the top 11 of the draft outside of Malcolm Brogdon.
Huh.
Wow. I guess that's not really surprising. But
so if you're looking
last year, put somebody on the spot.
Was it Donovan Mitchell?
It was.
No, yeah. it was Ben Simmons.
Yep.
Oh,
it was Ben Simmons.
Yeah. That's right. It was the controversy. Okay.
I mean, any other year it would have been Donovan Mitchell, but right. I mean, I like Marvin Bagley too. I think that's a solid pick. I mean, I think Doncic is obviously the safe one. Just because of the fact that everybody knows he's played against high-level competition before. And it's like the jump for him is not near as big as what it will be for Bagley coming from Duke.
Honestly, and it's pains me to say, I think a flyer, for the reasons you said earlier, would be Trae Young.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a bad...
I'm worried for Trae Young.
I am too, but he's the guy, he's going to shoot it all the time. And if you don't look at percentages, he might put up 20 points and nine assists or something. Yeah. I mean, that's a bad Hawk team.
Like I said, I am scared for Trae Young because they're giving him the keys to that offense, and that team is going to be so bad.
But it's also no pressure either.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can just...
But think about the habits that he could form.
No. I
just think something that might weigh on him a little bit is, you know, he was in the swap for Luka Doncic. And if Doncic ends up playing very well...
He's going to look bad.
I really do think Trae Young's going to struggle. I think the physicality of the game is really going to bother him. And I'm not convinced he's as great of an athlete as what we maybe saw at Oklahoma. Yeah, I just think his shooting is going to take a while to come around. I think his passing is by far his best skill that translates to the next level. But yeah, I'm in the boat where I do not expect much out of Trae Young next year. And like Bloom said, it could be he puts up a good amount of stats, but if you look at his player efficiency rating, it's going to be really poor.
One guy I thought was probably the best player in the summer league, who I think will be a good player right away, is Colin Sexton.
You know, I was just saying,
his odds are not great at 5-1, but he'll most likely start there and put up some numbers. He still has some nice pieces.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs, everyone's thinking, oh, they don't have LeBron. They're not going to fall off the face of the earth. They're not going to be very good. I'd be surprised if they make the playoffs, but they could still win. I mean, what's their over-under? 40-something?
Yeah, probably.
They could be around there. I mean, JR...
It was 30.5.
What is it, 30?
30.5,
yeah. I actually like the over there.
Yeah.
I think he's a nice player to help out, and he could put up some nice numbers as an alpha, so to speak, in Cleveland. So that'd be another one I'd look at.
And I thought, I look for Kevin Love to kind of bounce back season. I think you could definitely see him being more of what he was in Minnesota now that he's not really going to be just a corner three-point shooter. I'm interested to see how that develops. But, I think Colin Sexton, like you said, is, he's an alpha. He's going to get the keys right away. And, I mean, the dude just always plays hard.
He plays
with a chip on his shoulder. And I think that's something that's really important in this.
It'll be a fun season, boys.
I know. What about Javon Carter at 50-1?
Nope.
The only other one that I really like for the possible value is Kevin Knox at 8-1.
Yeah.
In New York.
I think he was a guy that was, really talented in the draft. He can kind of play the three, four, and I think he's got a chance to put up some stats for a fairly bad Knicks team.
Yeah, and if he has a couple big time games, he could get the Jeremy Lin treatment.
Yeah. I saw today though, I did see that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was voted the steal of the draft by the NBA GMs.
Just kind of stuck out and maybe. I think he'll be a nice player.
I mean, he's plus 28-1. Like that, if he's as good as what the GMs seem to think he is, and I don't think he would fit into that stat that you just said. No, but
that's good. That's not a bad gamble.
All right, let's do one more thing. Abdul Nader, what's his chances with the Thunder? So we didn't talk about either of those guys.
Nader's got a guaranteed deal.
Yeah.
So he'll most likely, unless he gets waived in the next
couple days,
he should make the team. Now he's been injured, so I'm a little concerned that he'll know his fate here by Monday.
Right.
Similar to
Deontay will be with the G League team though.
Yeah, Deontay, he's a two-way contract.
Big time game last night.
Yeah,
though.
That was fun. Good for him. But no, I see Nader being a 11th, 12th guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nothing great.
Yeah. I mean, I think kind of what we were talking about with George earlier, I think, a lot of times he's going to be a guy that's, on the roster, but he's inactive and he's not dressed. But
yeah, I figured we might as well just talk about them while we're here.
You want to get your predictions just so you're on the record for the season?
Yeah. For who wins the East or
both?
Who wins the West? I don't think there's much of a discussion to be had here. If it's not the Golden State Warriors, I would be so incredibly shocked. But I will say I believe they are a Steph Curry injury away from things getting a lot more interesting.
Yep. That's fair.
Because as good as Kevin Durant is, it's really Steph is the one that is so different from anybody else that you're ever going to play against that he's like what takes you over the top of them being unbeatable.
Yeah, I agree. Even though the crazy thing is with a Steph injury, I mean, I think there's hardly any teams that can even beat them without Steph Curry, just even in the West. I mean,
But if it came down to where it's, if it's the Western Conference Finals and they don't have Steph Curry and they're going against LeBron.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I.
But I like all the factors that are needed.
That's
how good they are, though.
Of the big three, he's probably the most valuable.
That's the only way to even make it interesting at this point, you know? Like, that's.
I do wonder how Boogie's going to fit in there. And he really doesn't have to fit in. I mean, those guys won with JaVale McGee last year, so it's like, okay. But
that's what I'm saying. At this point, you have to take you have to put all those qualifiers into it in order to even have that conversation.
What about the East? Are you going Philly?
No, I'm not going to go with Philly. I do think that – I think Philly's going to have a – I think their record will be similar or will be slightly better than what it was a year ago.
Okay.
I'm going Boston to win the East. I think they're the best team. And it is interesting, though, now that Toronto doesn't have to worry about beating LeBron in the East this year. I mean, I think they've been there every single year, and they just kind of had almost a case of the yips against LeBron. They just couldn't get over the hump. But I think that Boston's the best team, and I think especially in the playoffs, as long as they stay remotely healthy, that they're gonna win the East.
I agree. When you get in the playoffs, you need people who can create your own offense. You can't just live like Toronto does with depth. Now, Kawhi helps that quite a bit, but I still think your Kyrie, Tatum, Hayward, Brown, whoever else they throw at center is probably better than what Toronto can throw out there. And Philly's close.
If I was going to say right now today, I would pick Philly and Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I'd pick Los Angeles and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
You're that much of a LeBron believer.
I just think when it comes time for LeBron James to play in the playoffs, I have a hard time betting against him. There's a reason the guy's been in the finals 8 years in a row. Years in a row.
I will wager that they don't make the finals, the Western Conference Finals.
Are you going to pick the Rockets then? Is that who they play against? I mean, who else?
I'm personally taking the Rockets again. I think
I'm going to go with my Jazz.
Man, okay.
I'm going with it.
That's too. I'm just the boring one over here. That's two hot takes over there.
That would be interesting, man.
I love Utah. I don't know why. It's not just because of George. I just like the setup of that team.
And I like this Los Angeles team. I think that they're going to be tough. They're going to be better than what I think people think they are.
I mean, I'm never going to count LeBron out. I'm not going to be that guy. I worry about the pieces around him. That's what I worry about in the West.
All right. So the East, you didn't say
Boston.
Boston. Okay. All right. We're good. Looking forward to it. Next Tuesday, the season gets underway. Again, mybookie.ag. 2427 is the promo code at sign up. They will match your deposit. Thanks, guys, for coming in, and we will talk to you guys again soon. Peace.